Morning, everyone. Thank you for joining us on this holiday weekend. Kids, for the most part, have gone back to school. So, Donna, thank you so much. As a retired teacher with decades of experience, you do understand the challenges, anxieties of our little ones as they go back to school, or big ones. So that's great. There's a phrase that's been stuck in my head the past couple of weeks, and I want to share a brief message before we celebrate the Lord's Supper and share that phrase with you. And it comes from Zechariah 2:8, and it's the phrase, "The apple of my eye, the apple of my eye." And in this verse, we'll just read it here. I'll read that for us. Zechariah 2:8, "For thus said the Lord of hosts, after his glory sent me to the nations who plundered you, for he who touches you touches the apple of his eye." This is one of those phrases that we often are quite familiar with, but here we actually have it in Scripture, where it's from. He who touches you touches the apple of his eye. This phrase, the apple of your eye, is a translation. In the original, in Hebrew, it's actually the little person or the little man of the eye. Isn't that interesting? In other words, when you look at someone, there are times where you catch your own reflection reflected from their pupil, and you can see yourself. And as we begin to think about that, this is God speaking through his servant, and God addressing a part of his heart and who he is. Whoever touches you touches the apple of my eye. I don't have the greatest eyesight, and I'm always very sensitive about my eyes, especially during allergy season when things are starting to get very, very uncomfortable and constantly itching and fussing with my eyes. The eyes are so sensitive, one of the most sensitive parts of our body. Whenever something gets near it, you will automatically start to blink, turn your face away to protect your eye from that ball, from that punch, from that shooting figure that was launched by your child or grandchild straight into your face, thinking it's a bullseye or a game. But when we think about this phrase, apple of my eye, we're really thinking about the theme of protection and presence. A few things. As we think about what we just read together in Zechariah, who was a prophet, a servant of God, we see that where this comes from is that Israel is God's apple of his eye. Israel. Zechariah was used to preaching doom and gloom to God's people because they were constantly rebelling and running away from him and not listening to their father, their heavenly father. And so God exercised discipline over them by sending enemies to remind them that there are consequences to disobedience and sin. But then this verse comes along, which reminds Israel of their unique call and who they are and how much God cares for them. Whoever touches you touches the apple of my eye. I will protect you because I love you and you are mine, says the Lord to the nation of Israel. Despite their sin and stubbornness, we still see in the midst of discipline, God's unfailing love for Israel. We see this several times, Deuteronomy 7:6, for you are a people holy to the Lord your God. The Lord your God has chosen you to be a people for his treasured possession out of all the peoples who are on the face of the earth. You are mine, says the Lord. Psalm 17:8-9, we'll put that up. Keep me as the apple of your eye. Here we have the phrase again. Did you know it was here and several times in Scripture? Hide me in the shadow of your wings from the wicked who do me violence, my deadly enemies who surround me. Once again, we see in this phrase this heart of protection, preservation, and care over his people. So Israel is the original reference and context coming from Zechariah the prophet. But who else is the apple of God's eye? Just as the kids reminded us this morning, Jesus is the apple of God's eye, because Jesus is God's begotten Son. Do you remember when Jesus was baptized at the Jordan River? What did the Father? He couldn't hold back. This was a proud daddy moment. This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. The Father couldn't contain himself as his Son was identifying with the sinners he came to save, like you and I. This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. God the Father couldn't contain himself later on in the event called the Transfiguration, where Jesus' glory was unveiled momentarily. And listen to Matthew 17. This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him. Listen to him. Jesus is the very apple of God's eye because he is God's Son. And so let us not lose that. Yes, Israel, but then there was a true and faithful Son that never disobeyed, that fully submitted to the Father. And God, the Father could not contain himself. This is my Son. A true, proud Father moment. John 3:16 is a verse that we all love and cherish, but we often put an emphasis on, for God so loved the world. But let us not forget that following that, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Hallelujah. His only begotten Son. Israel, yes, is the apple of God's eye. But let us not forget Jesus, the Son of God, was a very special apple of God's eye. This is my beloved Son, with whom I am pleased, his one and only begotten, beloved Son, that he gave as an atoning sacrifice for you and I. But thirdly, and we're moving along quickly here, we're almost done here this morning, we have become the apple of God's eye. Because of the true and faithful Son, at times Israel, yes, but many times not, but because of the true and faithful Son, when we place our trust in him, when we want to follow him, when we identify with him and submit to him and receive him as Lord, as Savior, we become the apple of God's eye. Eric Raymond reflects on this and reminds us that because of the true Son of David, we become the apple of God's eye. We are children of God, adopted and cherished in Jesus Christ. He has his eye on you. He protects you. What great news. It humbles and strengthens us. Amen. Amen to that. So we read in Scripture, it's not just the nation of Israel that saw the miracles and power and deliverance and patience and love of God. It is not just Jesus Christ himself, the only begotten Son of God, sent to give his life for you and I. And God could not contain himself on these multiple occasions. This is my beloved Son, whom I am well pleased. But when we choose to follow him, we actually become the apple of God's eye. And for some reason, this phrase is just spinning around in my head the past couple of weeks, past couple of months. And as I began to do a little study on it to share with us this morning, may it be able to sink in. All right, Pastor, that's great. What does this really mean? Three thoughts, application, and we'll end. If this is really true, and I've shared with you in Scripture that it is, then the first thing that I want to challenge us with as we start this fall season together, whether you have kids or grandkids or great-grandkids or not, starting school, as you begin this new season, release your loved ones to Jesus. Release those that you worry about because of your care. Release your loved ones, your children, your grandchildren, a spouse, a friend. Release them to the care and love of Jesus. The reason why we need to be reminded of this is because if this is true, then God loves them far more than you could even begin to dream or imagine that you could love them. Our love is often conditional, it's frail, it's fragile, it's diminishing, and we have our mood swings and challenges. It's imperfect at best, is it not? It is. And so as you think about this, that we are the apple of God's eye, that means that God loves your children infinitely more than you could ever begin to dream of loving them. If that is true, then of course we love them imperfectly, but we do our best. But release them, entrust them to the care of the one who calls them the apple of my eye. Some of us carry the weight of God Almighty in our hearts, and you will get tired and discouraged. You can't do it. You're not God. And so, first application, release your loved ones to the care of Jesus, who looks at them and says, "You are the apple of my eye." Release them to the one who loves your loved ones infinitely and perfectly more than you could ever begin to dream or imagine. Some of us think that we can love them better than God, and you will go very weary and tired. And so, however that will speak to you, let it speak to you. Secondly, you rest in the love of Jesus. Do you really believe that God loves you this much? That you are, because of Jesus, the apple of God's eye, and he will do anything and everything to love you, protect you, preserve you, and work in your life his great plan. I believe that one of our great struggles is, yes, I'm going to release my loved ones to Jesus, but I think one of the greatest battles and challenges is for us to believe the gospel that God actually loves you as the apple of his eye. We don't really believe that. We struggle because we know we fall short all the time and we beat ourselves up.
But if this is true, and God says this over a rebellious nation of Israel, that I love you, are the apple of my eye, I will protect you. Even through their disobedience and unfaithfulness. Would you dare to believe and rest in the love of God in Christ for your life? And I think we really struggle with this. How could God love me? Well, he can, because it's not because of you, but it's because of his beloved Son, Jesus, that earned for us that love that now is poured onto us because of his faithfulness, because he was the true Son. Will you rest in the love of a God who calls you today? You are the apple of my eye. In the dynamics of spiritual life, Richard Lovelace, I've shared this once or twice before, reminds us that Christians who are no longer sure that God loves and accepts them in Jesus, apart from their present spiritual achievements, are subconsciously radically insecure persons. Their insecurity shows itself in pride, a fierce defensive assertion of their own righteousness, and their defensive criticism of others. Will you rest in the love of Jesus today? Because if you aren't sure that God absolutely loves you as the apple of his eye, you will be radically insecure in your life, and you will take it out on others. Believe the gospel again today. Know that when God says, whoever touches you touches the apple of my eye, he is talking to us. And if we really believe that, boy, that would change so much of how we live day to day. That God loves me because of Jesus. How amazing. And you rest secure in that unshakable love. Amen? And here we go, finally, as we wrap it up, make Jesus the apple of your eye. You already the apple of his eye. And in response to this amazing love, would you grow to make Jesus the apple of your eye? More than your own life, more than your children, as much as you love them, your family, your grandchildren, Jesus has to be number one. The one who is the greatest treasure of our lives. Because once that happens, everything else falls into place, and we are able to love all God brings into our lives. Would you, because he has already done that for you in Jesus, would you make Jesus the apple of your eye? As I reflected on this, a song almost 40 years ago, some of you, this will ring a bell, Christian artist Benny Hester, anyone, does that ring a bell? Am I the only one? Benny Hester, he reflected on this, and in the mid-80s, he wrote a song with these lyrics as you reflect, and I'll close out with this. Whoever touches you touches the apple of my eye. Oh, my child, whoever touches you touches the apple of my eye. You are my treasure. In me, you can hide. God says, you are my treasure because of Jesus. In me, God says, you can hide and find your protection, your rest, your acceptance, and the love and care that all of us crave every day of our lives. You may not experience it perfectly. You won't. From your loved ones, though they love you and they're trying, but you will experience it perfectly and the one who looks at you and says, "You are the apple of my eye." May we believe the gospel today. May we repent of our unbelief that God loves you because of Jesus. May we be reminded of it in a fresh way as Jesus took the apple of his eye, his son Jesus, and gave him to us, the broken body and the blood that was shed, so that he can look at us and say, "You are now the apple of my eye." Rest in that. Entrust your loved ones to that love and that person, the person of Jesus. And as you realize how wonderful this news is, daily, believe the gospel. Believe that he can take care of your loved ones, that we're not God. And make Jesus today the apple of your eye. Let's pray together. As we prepare to approach the Lord's table, may we take a moment to reflect on this phrase, apple of my eye, that is not just a movie or a cute Hallmark card saying on Valentine's Day, but understand that here we have one who centuries ago declared it over an unfaithful people, because God is faithful to his promises and to his people, who gave his apple of his eye, his beloved son Jesus, as an atoning sacrifice for you and I, so that we could be called the apple of God's eye. And as we prepare to approach the table in just a few moments, if God has not been the apple of your eye, but other things, other people, other endeavors, other hobbies, may you draw near to him with the change of heart through repentance and through faith to make Jesus the number one supreme apple of your eye. Lord, we approach your table in just a few moments in a visible way, reminded of your incredible love for all of us this morning in Jesus Christ. Father, we repent of our unbelief that we often don't really believe that you love us that much. We know we fall short and we're ashamed and guilty. And yet to an unfaithful people, you declare, "Whoever touches you touches the apple of my eye." Thank you for that undeserved, amazing, patient, gracious love for your people. Thank you, Jesus, for your faithfulness and carrying out all that the Father wanted so that we, by faith, could be called the apple of God's eye. And may you once again remind us. And may we believe and rest in it for our loved ones and for ourselves, that this is how much God loves me because of Jesus. My son, my daughter, rest in me, God says, for you are the apple of my eye. Amen. Today we come to the sacred table not because you must, but because you may. And we come as we're reminded today once again of this phrase, really capturing for us the gospel that in Jesus Christ, we who are weak and unfaithful, just like the Israelites throughout Scripture, still God looks at us with compassion and love and says, "You are the apple of my eye." And so with that understanding, shall we all rise and together recite this ancient creed, the Apostles' Creed? I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into Hades. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of the saints, forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated. And for a moment, in silence, we pause and we once again acknowledge our unbelief, our sin, in a time of silence, of reflection, in a time where we can confess our sins before the Lord and know that in Jesus Christ, he forgives you, he loves you, and he looks at you and I and says, "You are the apple of my eye." Shall we just take a moment of silence to reflect, to confess, and to believe. No matter where you are today and what you have struggled with in your life, let us believe the gospel and let us hold on to God's word that if we confess our sins, God is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We thank you, Lord, for hearing our prayers. We thank you, Lord, for your forgiveness that washes over us. We thank you that when we have doubted this past week or even this morning, how could God love me? We hear the words, "I do love you. You are still the apple of my eye, and I sent Jesus to die and to live for you." Oh, Lord, help us to believe Jesus again. And thank you that we can release our loved ones to your love that is perfect, for we are not God, although we try to be a lot of times. And in this back-to-school season, as we have so many anxieties and worries for our children and maybe our grandchildren, Lord, thank you that we can release them into your care, for you love them infinitely more than at our best days that we could try to love our own loved ones and our children in particular. Thank you that your promise is available to all who will believe. Lord, if there's anyone here that can't believe this is really true, may today be the day that we run to the arms of the Father who is ready to embrace us. Lord, I do receive you as Lord and Savior, and I want to hear the words that I love you as the apple of my eye. Oh Lord, we thank you for this reminder and your grace as we begin the fall together. In a world that is so broken and full of pain, thank you that your love abounds and is steadfast and is so faithful. And so we thank you and we release our loved ones to you right now in Jesus' name. And we, even though we struggle, believe that you do love me, you do love us with an unconditional love because of Jesus. You are the apple of my eye. Amen. In just a moment, we'll invite our communion service forward. And here at Trinity, we invite you forward by taking the elements. They'll be placed in your hands, and you could take it right there, return back to your seats.
There will always be prayer available to my left by the prayer team members and for myself on the right side. It could be for anything. If any of you even whispered that prayer that you would like to know and receive Jesus and know of his love for you that is unconditional, tell us. Share with us. We'd love to pray with you regarding that commitment. And so with that, on the night that Jesus was betrayed, he took bread, the one who was the apple of God's eye, the beloved Son, in whom the Father is so well pleased. After he had given thanks, he broke it, saying, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And Paul goes on to tell us in the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread, whenever you drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he returns." So today, my friends, this is the Lord's table. It is Jesus himself, the beloved Son, who invites you to this meal and celebration. The table is open to all who believe and have professed faith in Jesus. We invite you to come and by his grace partake in that visible, visceral reminder that you are now the apple of God's eye. And so we can invite our communion ushers forward at this time. And once again, if you aren't able to come forward, by walking up, just raise your hand. We'll get the elements to you. And once again, prayer will be available for anyone regarding anything. And so from the front to the back, we'll invite you forward. Come to the table, to the beloved one, who because of what he has done and who he is, as you take those elements, hear the words, "You are the apple of my eye." We invite you forward at this time. Celebrate the Lord's Supper.
surrender all.
Let's pray together to the one who gave the apple of his eye, his one, only, beloved, begotten Son, Jesus, to sinners like you and I, that we could in turn become the apple of God's eye. We thank you. We release our loved ones to you, Lord, for you love them infinitely more than we could even begin to imagine or try. We rest today in your love. How amazing that you now call us the apple of your eye as your children. Thank you, Lord. May we rest in that. And I pray that today we can take one step to do something to make Jesus the apple of our eye, to love you with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. Bless all the children as they return back to school. Be with all the teachers that are teaching them and school officials. Lord, we entrust this new school year to you. And we thank you as we know that you love us in this way to call us the apple of your eye. And so we claim this and we believe it and we rest in the gospel in the name of the Father and Son and Holy Spirit. Amen. God bless you all. Thank you so much.